Okay, do you want to start us off, Becky?
Well, before we do that, I'm just going to do like a quick little bit. I think a lot of you know this, but for people that don't know kind of the process to getting to Cambodia, Will and I lived in China for 2 years after we first got married. And so it was kind of, we got married and then 2 months later moved to China. And it was, in our eyes, just kind of this like fun adventure. Like it's like, why not? You know, like we didn't have kids yet. Let's just go and explore and travel. At the end of the 2 years, we came here, and Will and I both accepted a youth group job, helping with the youth group downstairs. And in my mind, I was like, okay, overseas stuff, check. Like, we're done. Like, we got it out of our systems, now we're going to, you know, do a normal life. And so that's kind of how it went. And then Will decided that he wanted to go a different route with ordination, which was a little bit just... it threw me off. I thought we were just going to do a temporary little bit with the youth group and then maybe go back into education. But he, and then eventually I, fell in love with this church and the Anglican tradition and all that. And so about 4 or 5 years ago, we both started talking about like, man, like we love Roanoke and we love this community, but we just keep on thinking about China. Like we just keep on thinking about living in a place where the people just don't have a chance to hear the gospel. Like you drive through the Roanoke Valley and it's just saturated with like really, not just churches, but like good godly people who truly love Jesus. It's rich in like true Christians. And so while it's been a gift to live here, we just kept on feeling this like urge to go to a place where people didn't have that access. And we kept on checking in with other people. We're like, do you guys feel the urge to like leave, like to like go overseas? And they're like, no. And we're like, oh, okay. So it's just, okay. So we started talking to Quig a good bit, and he was so helpful in the process of just kind of narrowing down different options. I remember we were trick-or-treating with his grandkids and our kids, and we like said something about one of the countries we were looking at. He's like, no, they have enough. Do a different one. We're like, oh, okay. So he helped us with that. And so, long process, I won't tell that whole story. It narrowed down into a very clear answer of Cambodia and Phnom Penh, Cambodia specifically. And so, it's been quite the adventure getting there. But what we're going to talk about is kind of, that's the buildup to Cambodia. And a lot of you guys were involved in the process of like sending us off and caring for us really well in that stage. Lots of tears, lots of questioning back and forth. And this is kind of the first 2 years here of what it was like experiencing Cambodia in real life. Because we actually had never been before we moved everyone there. And I didn't really know where it was on a map like 3 years ago. So, but yeah. Do you want to go through the stages? Don't need to do
that. You can.
Okay, I'm talking a lot.
Okay, fine. Okay, so... We went through like there's so much. How like boil down like 2 years into like 40 minutes. So we boiled. Becky had the idea to do it through like the stages of culture shock, and so we're gonna go through this like roller coaster, literally of culture shock. I guess it's more like this anyway. But stage one is the excitement stage. You're getting ready to go. You're excited. Even if you arrive, it's like, wow, everything's different. This is cool. And then stage two is like, everything's different. This is terrible. You know, it's the frustration stage. And then three is like the adjustment stage of like, okay, like we're making progress. And then four is the acceptance stage, which, anyway, we might be there. Anyway, I'm not sure where we are exactly.
Right, it's not a linear thing. We go back and forth. And
yeah.
There's frustration. All right, you can go to the next one. So we're going to talk about the excitement stage first. And so in this stage, and this is normal for people coming into new cultures. This can also happen like on a college campus as you're just changing your environment, changing the culture. Everything feels new and exciting. There's a lot of power outages and flooding that happened the first night that we went there. And we were, like, laughing. We're like, this is so funny. This is, like, so cool. And, like, look at our lives. And it was just, like, so exciting. And maybe it was the jet lag, too. I don't know. Language learning. Like, you're getting laughed at all the time when you're, like, trying to practice this language. But it's, like, cute and funny. You're like, I'm like trying my best and whatever. And then seeing new things. This is for me, like taking the kids to school. We go in a tuk-tuk, which is like, it's like a rickshaw. It's a three-wheeled vehicle. You might have seen them in India or something like that. So it's like open air. And we just see the weirdest stuff on the way to school. And I'm like, this is the best. This is so cool. What an adventure. So this is the short-lived excitement stage. this is Liam at the open air market. So it's at the open air market. This was my excitement stage. I would go to try to help with like language learning, but it involves haggling, which I do not like. I like just seeing a sticker and being like, okay, take my money. And the haggling, they're like, this much. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Yeah, sure. And they have like meat hanging from hooks and like fish and stuff. And it's just very, it's very authentic. It's an authentic experience. So you can go to the next one. We don't do the open air market very much. So the excitement, do you want to?
Yeah. So this is the poor people who are behind us at the airport trying to get checked in. This is all of our luggage.
Yeah, the Roanoke airport was not ready for us.
They're like, where are you going with all this stuff? And then this is our family in like the some train. I don't know where it was. But so you see Teresa with us. And for some reason, Finn has no clothes on. I think he threw up on his clothes. So... anyway, but it's fine. It was fun. It was exciting.
Yeah,
so.
We're just laughing. It was a really, really hard trip. There was a lot of throw up involved. A lot of hours on the plane. We did like two changes of clothes for the kids, and it still wasn't enough because they just kept on throwing up. And it was like, oh, okay. Mom coming was a huge gift. My mom is Teresa Blacksmith, and Bob Blacksmith is my dad. And so mom coming at the beginning was very, very helpful. Yeah. You can go to the next one. The next slide is, you can click that video right there. This is our first night.
All right, so there's a flood. They say that this is the worst flood that's happened in this neighborhood for a long time. But it's fine. And then the power cut off. So
power outage?
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry.
We were staying at our friend's house, and it was like the flood was literally coming up to the door. And this is sewage water. It comes out of the sewage, so it's disgusting. And we're just standing there, like, on the doorstep, and then the power goes out, too. So there's no air conditioning, and we're like, oh, okay, all right. But it was, you know, just funny and fun in the new stages of it. And you can do the next one. This is just a typical... So Cambodia has two seasons. It's hot season half the year and monsoon. Rainy season half the year. And so when we went, it was the rainy season. And the people that live in Cambodia just, I mean, you can't stop life for 4 months during the rainy season, so they just go. So they go on bikes, they go in cars, they go in tuk-tuks, and that's still sewage water, so I don't think it's the best idea. But anyway, we were just like, that's so crazy, how fun. So you can go to the next one. This is Liam enjoying his first monsoon rain. This is at his school's playground. And so our kids definitely experience like the stages with us of just, actually they still love running in the rain. They're still happy with that. But I mean, just like insane amount of rain. This is us at our neighborhood playground. And a lot of these people had never like played with a like white baby before. And they were just like, and at the beginning our kids did like that a lot, all the attention and all the extra like love, and then that also, they don't like it as much anymore. But Finn got lots of attention at the beginning. You can do that. So this is me trying to speak Khmer to kids, and the kids laughing at me, like, a lot. And I was feeling really confident about it, but they did not understand like, a word that I said. But it was fine, because we were in the excitement stage.
Ride
this is just an example of riding in a tuk-tuk during the rain.
Makes you miss it a little bit. Move it.
Yeah. You can go to the next one. Okay, these are just the things that we saw on the way to school. So, yeah. This is just a guy. I don't know. He was on a horse. He had get a cowboy hat. We still don't really understand. That's not like a daily occurrence. That's still weird. But I thought it was really funny. And if you follow me on social media, you know that I do a lot of cow videos. It's my weakness. But yeah, just
kind of cows from Ferris Street sometimes, you know.
As you say, cow day.
Cow day. Cow day. Yeah, and I think there's one more for this stage. Okay, yeah. This is right outside of our kids' school. And so these are just water buffaloes, kind of eating amongst the trash.
That's a baby one. You see a baby one?
Oh, I see
the baby. Look at him.
It's a baby water buffalo. I chose this one as the last one because, as you can see, there's just trash everywhere. Like, there's the water buffalo and there's some greenery, but there's just trash everywhere. Like, a lot of times we would see the water buffalo, like, picking up the trash with their mouth and then realizing it was trash and then not eating it. And so this is the transition into the frustration stage. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just that, like, at first, everything feels, like, exciting and new, but like I already kind of said, is that after a while, it's like, I don't want to be laughed at when I'm trying to, like, speak Khmer anymore. Like, I just want to be, like, talk to the cashier like normal. and so in all these stages, like, we feel like God's kind of, like, met us and over time, like, grown our heart for Cambodia, but they're, like, definitely low points as well, yeah.
You can go to the next one. As we're talking about the frustration stage, none of this is meant as like a slight toward Cambodia as a country or toward the people. It was really just our process of moving into a new culture. And this would happen in any culture. Asian countries are so far removed from Western culture that it's just a bigger gap. And so it was a lot of adjusting. this is just meat on the back of a moto. And it's just how they transport meat. And so when they go to get their meat for the day, they just go to the open air market. And it's like 95 on like a normal day. Like it's like anywhere between 90 to 100. Right now it's like 106 every day. And so
they tell us it was just killed that morning, so it's fine. So
they do. They say it's actually fresher than the supermarket meat. But it's still hard to get used to when you see it like swinging past you and stuff. And then... you like there was this one route that we'd go to on the way to language school where it was a fish market, and my tuk-tuk would always get stuck in traffic, like right at the fish market. I'd be like, no, like fish market on a 100-degree day. It's so bad. So life starts to feel difficult at this stage. You're out of the honeymoon stage, and you're more like, oh, we signed up for this for a while, and like this isn't a vacation. This isn't like a like fun trip or like a, you know, a funny like sitcom. This is like our life. And so everyday activities start to feel stressful. I remember very distinctly like trying to figure out where to get groceries. And I was like, I don't know, I'll just make quesadillas because that's like my very easiest meal. And I got these tortillas, which were fine. And it said, what was it called?
Cheese topping.
It looks like shredded cheese. I'll do it. And we tried to eat it, and it was just, like, not cheese. I still don't know what it was.
Wasn't cheese.
But I just started crying. I was like, this isn't a quesadilla. I can't even make quesadillas in this country. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Sleeping and eating habits get disrupted. And this is with, at this point, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old, too. And so it's like, Will and I are juggling our feelings. We're also trying to juggle our kids' emotions as they're trying out all of this stuff. And so it was just really hard.
And you start to, like Becky said, like miss all the normal stuff from home. And I'll miss all the normal food and the people and the land and the trees and everything. And there's also, like, within all this, like, the spiritual, like, the dark spiritual forces are, like, using this to like, make us feel discouraged, right? We believe they have not, like, ultimate control at all. There's, like, Jesus is king. We also believe there's, like, spiritual forces that will make us want to feel, they want to make us feel discouraged. And that goes along with, the sleeping habits and everything. Like, we pray for like good sleep for everyone all the time, you know, because it's a real thing.
Yeah, and a lot of you guys in this room prayed a ton for our kids with their sleep and with the adjustment and all that. And, like, we would see a difference in the kids' sleep after reaching out for prayer. It was actually a really incredible process for us of just the power of prayer. Of I would have a handful of people where I'm like, okay, it's like I just need to, like, say, like, hey, we feel something dark in our house. We aren't sleeping. We feel something dark, like, right now. Could you pray? And it was just... really amazing to see how much, like, God is working everywhere. Prayer works everywhere. But when you're in a darker place, you just see it more clearly. And so that was cool. You can go to the next one. Okay, so this video is, this is a picture of the traffic. But I just thought it would be helpful to see. This is just one of our tuk-tuk rides going around Phnom Penh. So it's the biggest city in Cambodia. But it's still very much developing. There's a lot of trash everywhere. There's a lot of smells because of the heat. And we'll talk about the positive, happy things of Cambodia too, but it's just not Roanoke. You know, like it's not America. Like, we're driving around this week and we're just like, it's so beautiful here. I forgot how beautiful, like just the trees and the grass and all of that. And yeah, it's just a concrete jungle. And neither Will or I grew up in the city either. So that was just its own adjustment, was the culture shock of living in the city. Most people are on motos. Almost, well, there's more cars now, but a ton of people are on motos. We've seen up to, I think, 5 or 6 people on a moto with kids. So it's like, I remember one time we saw twins. So they had twins, mom and dad, and then they had one other kid. So maybe 5 is the limit we've seen. Yeah. we've seen a live pig on a moto. They just bring everything. It's amazing. They're very.
If it fits, it ships.
Exactly. You can go to the next one. This is just, you can hit it. It's a video. It just shows the riverside. And so I'm just trying to show how many people there are, which is pretty typical in an Asian city. Everyone's out. Like, everyone's out and about. It's a very, like, communal culture, very social. Just people everywhere, which was also an adjustment for sure.
No.
Great. You can go to the next one. Okay, and these are both videos of one of the temples that we went to. So either one first is fine. This is the inside of a Buddhist temple. And these are the monks in their saffron robes. We can go to the next one.
Look like they're real.
But big ears.
It's kind of a bummer, but the temples actually are some of the prettiest places, like the greenest places, like in the city. So it's like a nice garden usually. So you can go back to the temple real quick. That one will be next. So it's 98% Buddhism in Cambodia, and that's typical for Southeast Asia. Will and I were talking about this, and we want to be delicate when we're talking about Buddhism or any other religion, because number one, we're not experts in it. We're only like talking from the books we've read, which are limited, and our own experience. But what we experienced was a spiritual darkness that we haven't experienced in America before. And so there is darkness here, for sure. But there are like so many outposts of light and Christ's love in America that it just doesn't feel as heavy. Whereas there... There's no Christian worldview. It's at less than 1% Christianity. And so the things that have, even though America has kind of walked away in a lot of ways from Christianity itself, we still have that in our government system. We still have like this idea of like love your neighbor as yourself is just a core value for a Christian worldview. And what we saw in Cambodia was that they're kind people, but they just don't have that view of caring for strangers. Like they don't have something like that. So when they hit someone on a moto, a lot of times they'll just leave the person and drive away because, that's just kind of the norm there.
I think you got it.
Yeah. So with this, it was like we would see it a lot in nightmares and in the kids' dreams and stuff like that. And you can go to the next slide. Cambodia specifically is unique from Thailand and from other Southeast Asia cultures because, well, you talk about the Khmer Rouge.
Okay.
You haven't talked a lot.
Yeah. So in 1974 and 1979, there was this mass killing, some call it a genocide, of in Cambodia. So of the 6 million people, 2 million were killed by the Pol Pot regime. It was this kind of one of the tales of like the Vietnam War, but basically the idea was we need to get back to the core of Cambodia. We've been infiltrated by the West, and so we need to get back to the core. So the evil way that they decided to do this was to kill anybody who they thought was influenced by the West, which included anybody who was educated, people with glasses, people with disabilities as well. And so it was just like reading about it was sad enough. Being there and seeing that like everyone over a certain age lived through this here, and it's just like a part of their history. You talked like part of, like, for our language school, we were supposed to, like, for our homework, it was like ask some people about their family. And so we asked like our landlords about their family. And he was like, oh, I used to have like 5 brothers, but 3 of them died in the Pol Pot regime. That's just like normal for them to talk about. And this kind of like, I think in America, sometimes it's hard to teach about like the spiritual realm because it seems so like foreign and like kind of spooky and weird. But there, like, it's just like, anytime we're talking about it, it's like, how can we explain like a mass murder like this, like the mass coordination, the evil of it, it's only the enemy could have like pulled something like this off. And so it's a big part of their, it's so sad, it's part of their history, but it's also like an opportunity for the gospel as well, because they've seen like brokenness, and I think like the younger generation like has seen the PTSD in their parents, and they're like thirsty for more, thirsty for something else.
And as they were killing all the educated people, that killed a whole generation of doctors. They killed every doctor. They killed every teacher. They killed anyone that was educated over a certain level. And so that made a huge impact on the culture because an entire generation of educated people were killed. And so there'd be fake doctors, like fake communist doctors that would give these like fake pills that weren't really medicine and just... It was in the 70s, but they're still coming out of that. Like, they're still pulling out from that because it's just, it made such a huge impact on their culture, not having an educated class. This is from the Tool Slang Museum, which is one of the genocide museums my mom and dad got to go to. And it's just, it's really hard to describe the darkness there. And then in other places where you're just like, you wonder, like, what happened on some parts of the land, you know, where it's just, like, you can kind of feel the violence and you can, like, see it still. We don't really understand it, but we just know that, like, that it was really, really dark for this to happen. So you can go to the next one. Okay, the adjustment stage.
Yeah, so so the positive and the negative experiences, being, like, kind of sit you on this trajectory of feeling like, okay, I can, like, settle in here. So you're adjusting to the new things and may even like feel like if I have someone visiting, I feel like I'm like so fluent in like the culture or something. I'm like, I'll show you around. Come on, you know, even though like I'm really not compared to them, but I feel that way, you know. So getting to new rhythms and routines, there are things like being in America, there are things we miss about Cambodia because like we have like our rhythms and routines, the things we like grown to love there, you know.
Like grocery prices.
Nice. And you start to build stronger relationships. And for us, that looks like both Khmer people and other expats that we're like are in our circles as well. You start to build like strong relationships, and it's what like keeps you in the game, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and the adjustment stage needs to happen if you settle into another culture, because if you're stuck in the frustration stage, you just can't be happy there. And so part of our process with that was these are two girls. This is Yuri and Mary. And so most Fridays I go into this neighborhood, and it's kind of like a classic urban poor neighborhood, because my friend, it was really random. My friend wanted to teach Chinese. She's Chinese. And I said, I can't speak Chinese. She's like, no, it's fine, just come. And I was like, okay, but I can't speak Chinese. She's like, you don't have to. And then she tried to make me teach them Chinese. And I'm like, Lily, I told you I don't speak Chinese. But I loved the kids so much that I kept on going back. And I did not teach them Chinese because I don't speak it. But I would practice my Khmer, and really what I would do is like watch the younger kids and usually like draw with them or something like that. And so this was a big part for me of just like feeling tied in with Khmer people specifically, of just like if I have someone I'm praying for, it's usually these kids who I've been to most of their houses now. And I like, it's another thing I can't really describe. Like I didn't take a picture of it because that's rude. But like, the poverty that we see there is just insane. Like it's just like they're actually living like with like trash and not running water and rats and bugs and all of that. And they're so sweet and they're so happy and thankful. A lot of you that have like been to developing countries, even in Rwanda or something like that, like they do have this joy about them. But it's just hard to see the poverty. I remember coming back from the first Friday night, and we pulled back into like a really beautiful neighborhood and house, and I just like wept because I was like, how could it be that like some people live like this and some people live like this? And like, God, like, where are you in this? Like, how do we do this? But since then, it's been so cool to see. I've been able to talk to them about the gospel, but so many Khmer Christian leaders are coming into this neighborhood specifically with programs to, like, it's like soccer and Jesus, where, like, they'll, like, have them, like, come play soccer and teach them about Jesus and teach them English, but they're also teaching the gospel. So when I'm talking to them, they're like, yeah, I know Jesus. I know him, and they'll tell me things about him, and that's been a really cool, encouraging thing, too. You can go to the next one.
Yeah, this is us doing the Christmas pajamas. It's a must. Opening presents with our landlord. So these two people live next door to us. And it's actually like most of our friends, that like our expat friends, have like terrible landlords, never met. If like a pipe breaks, they're like, I don't take care of it, you know? But these people have been like really helpful and friendly, and they like bring us fruit like every other week, and they'll check in and see how we're doing. And so that's just been such a provision from the Lord to give us these landlords. So we're really grateful for them. Almost no one we know has landlords like this. This next one is a video of us singing carols.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
So those are some of our Australian friends, who's also a church planter, doing something a little bit different. But they had this idea, like, let's just go to the park and sing Christmas carols. So we didn't just sing Wish You Were Merry Christmas. We sang a couple more Jesus ones as well. But but it was really good. It gave us, like, some like, chance to, like, meet people and just, like, plant some seeds. It's something small that we did. Next one. Okay, this is us in the same park playing soccer.
Go. Yeah. So I feel like part of the adjustment stage was just like, you go in with all these like crazy ideas of what you can do and blah, blah, blah. And it's a lot like living here where it's like, okay, what are some small ways?
Oh, there.
Yeah, I do some really good blocks here. And then at the end, I kick the ball into a kid's face by accident. That was, yeah. You get to see small ways where you can just kind of jump into the community.
She's like a brick wall.
Look at her. You
can't be stopped.
Look at her.
She's hugging the post.
Watch her.
There we go. Look at her go.
Oh, yes. That's when I kicked the boy in the face. Yeah. He cried. He cried. I felt really bad about it. Yeah. He like tried to be brave and walk it off.
Blessed.
Yeah. So that's one way we shared the gospel. Yeah, so just finding little ways of just like, okay, what can we do? Like with our kids and like, okay, we can go to the playground. We didn't do that to try to play with other kids. We were just playing soccer with our own kids and they came and we're like, yeah, let's all play. And so it's just like little things day by day of trying to get into the culture more and more. This is the Friday Kids. In Khmer, they're singing, "In Jesus Christ, we are one family." And I have heard that song so many times because they sing it like 100 times every Friday. And I'm actually really sick of it, but it's really cute. So that's the Friday ministry, too, where it's just mom got to come and meet the kids and everything, too. And it's just like I've been a sweet part of our 2 years there. You can go to the next one. Acceptance stage.
Yeah, so this is us at the church plant. And so we planted a church in northern Phnom Penh. So when we arrived, we were invited to plant this church in partnership with an existing Anglican church in the city center. So that church has three language services, English, Khmer, and Mandarin Chinese also, because there's all kinds of people living in Phnom Penh. And so so it serves all kinds of people in different ways. And so they invited me to come plant this church in the northern part of Phnom Penh. And we were able to find this like beautiful building after like months of like searching and praying. A lot of y'all are praying with us too. We found this like beautiful building that was built by this like Korean engineer. And we met him, and he was like, "I just love Cambodians, and I want the gospel to thrive here, and so we want to like rent you our place for a good price." And so we get to hold services there, and it's just kind of started. So right now we only have the English service meets there, and we have a Khmer service led by a pastor. His name is Nehemiah, who meets at like a dorm nearby. So the dorm is a place where, like, so Phnom Penh is the only big city in Cambodia. It also has like almost all of the universities, and so a lot of the kids from the provinces that don't like know city life and stuff will come to Phnom Penh to go to university. But then when they get there, it's actually really dangerous because it's a big city and they could go into debt or worse and get trafficked. And so a lot of churches, not just us, buy buildings and rent them it's very cheap to rent the buildings for us. And we let them live there for very cheap or for free. They have a safe place to study. And that alone helps them. But also, we have a dorm parent living there with them who's a Christian. And so they hold just like Bible studies that are optional or something, and then people can come and hear the gospel. So a lot of people meet Jesus that way. And so they meet Jesus, get a degree, and then they're sent back out into Cambodia, which is great.
I would say most of the adult Khmer Christians that I talk to when I ask how they met the Lord, it was through this. It was through the dorm ministry of just coming to a safe place where they had an adult that loved them and cared for them and shared the gospel with them. And yeah, now they're walking with the Lord. And so it's a really effective, we didn't really understand it before we went, but it's a really effective ministry of just slowly teaching them the gospel, and then they keep walking in the Lord.
So. Yeah, and so that's just one of the things I've learned since being in Cambodia is that like you go overseas and you have these like amazing dreams of like, I'll like gather a bunch of people. Not really me, but I'm just playing a part in my team, right? Like I don't run the dorm, like someone else on my team runs it, but I get to be a part of it and see what God's doing. And so I'm just like one tiny like piece in this like amazing like movement that God is doing in Cambodia.
You can go to the next one. So this is just more pictures of CCOP, which is our church plant there. This is the Christmas Eve service. That's our first baby baptism. Her name's Noelle. She's really sweet. They're on our team, too. They're Americans living there with us. And so I feel like this helped with the acceptance stage as well of just like, okay, like we have our roles now. Like we have like the lanes that we're supposed to go in. Because you get there and it's like, okay, there's poverty. Yep. There's trafficking. There's a huge need in the medical world, which we can't help with. There's education. But, like, what, God, like, what? You know, like, we thought, like, leaving and going there would be, like, the big yes. But then you get there, and it's so overwhelming because it's just, like, there's so many needs. Like, how can I ever do anything? Yeah. Like, it just feels like anything we do is just like a drop in the bucket. And so CCOP has helped a lot because we're on a team with other people. And it's like, okay, like this is, Will is an ordained priest who has been to seminary. He can help with that. Like I help out with the Sunday school of like coming up with the curriculum and having like, it's like 50 kids in the church. And so it's a lot to maintain and get volunteers and stuff. It's not like probably what I would have hoped for going there, but it's like that's following the Lord too, is just being like, okay, open hands, like what's needed here and stepping into that. And so I feel like CCOP has been really helpful with that for us of like, okay, this is what we can do.
CCOP stands for Church of Christ Our Peace, and we didn't make that up. That was the name already, but I actually love it. Church of Christ Our Peace.
Yeah. We can go to the next one, and we're almost done. This is the Easter service. You want to talk about Easter?
Yeah, for Easter, Holy Week was nuts. But this was a baptism we had. We baptized. These are all the families of the kids being baptized. So there were five young people, like girls, like eight years old or so, from Malaysia and New Zealand and the U.S., and one infant, and then two Khmer young men got baptized as well. And again, I'm just like playing like a small role in that part. Yeah.
Go to the next one. Yeah, this is Maundy Thursday. Just a sweet family. This is Joel, and he's washing his sister Gianna's feet. Yeah, just getting to see, like, it's the same stuff that we get to do here of, like, just seeing the power of the Holy Spirit in a church body, but getting to see it over there is sweet, too. This is Josh Stewart. Will's praying for him during communion. You can go to the next one. This is the last video, so you can play it, and then we'll explain it.
Jingdor, do you repent of your sins? Do you turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
It's a pretty big drop.
And as a son? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it was really intense.
Well, it helped you to walk in newness of life. Okay.
Yeah, Will started to pray, and he's like, actually, you pray, Kamai. That would be easier. Yeah, it was a really sweet moment. There was another baptism, the other Khmer dorm student, and I didn't use that one because his eyes, when he's going down, like, he's just terrified because it's such a big drop, but this one was a little bit more peaceful. But I thought that this was just, like, a sweet, for us, it was just, like, a sweet moment of, like, okay, like, we didn't lead this boy to Christ. Nehemiah did, like, his dorm leader, but we partner with Nehemiah, and we get to, like, experience this and be a part of this and assist Nehemiah in the ways that we can.
There are a lot of moments in Cambodia where I'm like, I have to, I don't know, like fix a broken toilet at church. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for, you know? But I had this moment for this where I was like, this is exactly what I signed up for. So I was really grateful. And just for the Lord and his provision for all of it, I feel so little, I could take so little credit, you know? So I'm really grateful for the Lord.
Yeah, and it's cool coming back here at the end of 2 years because it feels like we finished China in 2 years. And then, too, it felt like, oh, things are just beginning. And that's how it feels with Cambodia is like, okay, like things are actually starting to pick up momentum. And like there's still so many opportunities there. Like we want to open up a girls' dorm. We want to help lead those Bible studies. We want to open up a couple of schools. Like there's so many things where it's just like, wow, like we've got the, well, we've tried to get the language down. That'll be a process. But like we've done all these like foundation steps, and now we get to start building on the foundation. And so it really is one of those things where we're excited to go back. Not right now. I want to stay here for another 2 months or 3 months. But like we're excited to go back and see what else the Lord has. And so it is a cool time to come back of just like, okay, the church plan is only 7 months old, 6 months old. It felt like leaving a baby. It was actually really weird. But there's still so many things that God has for it. And so we've got Reese's face in that. Yeah. Our daughter is not happy at this point. Okay, you can go to the next one. This is the last little bit. And so this is actually just, I've been doing Lectio 365, which is an amazing app. I'm sure a lot of you know it. And this came up the other day, and I just thought about Cambodia and also thought about Roanoke and cried a lot. But I cry a lot in general. Most of you guys know that, so it's not that big of a deal. Do you want to
read it? I can read it. And then if we have, I'm not sure about timing, but if we have time afterwards, we can do questions. I don't know who's in charge of time. Just cut me off. Okay. Okay, so this is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. In my vision, the man brought me to the back of the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south, on the south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows." Next slide, please. A little more. Doop. "Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En Gedi to En Gileam. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they filled the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. They'll still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and leaves for healing."
Yeah. So when I listened to this, this was just a couple of days ago, I actually first thought of Roanoke, and Roanoke was not always a place that had the gospel, you know, like the gospel came to Roanoke at some point. And sitting in church last Sunday and hearing the worship team and seeing people with their arms up, and it's just like, God has been making a way here and for a long time now. Generations of people have loved Jesus here in this place, and it shows. Like, it shows through the rescue mission. It shows through so many different nonprofits. It shows through the way people care for their neighbors here. I think about, like, other ministries like The Well, where it's just like people want to come and worship the Lord. They're hungry for it. And then I just pictured Cambodia just being this, like, dry, lifeless place, and the river of the Holy Spirit coming Amen. Through it, and like Amen. What God could do through his Holy Spirit for the people of Cambodia, and just picturing what that would look like to have Khmer people, and people from every nation just worshiping the Lord in their own language, in their own tongue, and just Amen. A really, really beautiful, Amen. Encouraging image of there's still so much work to be done here in Roanoke. There's still work to be done everywhere, but it's all through the Holy Spirit. It's all through him, and it's just whether or not we're walking with him and kind of submitting to him. It's not like how we can white-knuckle our way through it or like, what can I do for God? It's just like, Lord, use me wherever you have me. So, I really, really loved that.
Amen. I forgot to ask beforehand, Bob, what time are we cut off?
You're bumping up against it.
One or two. Better make them quick questions.
One or two questions. No pressure. Make it good.
Yes, ma'am.
This is fluffy. What is your favorite new food in Cambodia?
Said, what's your favorite new food in Cambodia?
Go ahead.
I think it's the same one. Is it mango?
Oh, yeah, mango. I didn't know that.
The mango there is incredible. It's like, I've never had anything like it.
I'll crush the mangoes.
And it's really cheap. Will crushes some mangoes, yeah. Any more questions?
Can you give us like a 30-second Khmer conversation?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Thanks, Marilyn.
Sosade bong.
Sosade.
Sosade. Bong chimo ai.
Nyom chumwa Becky.
Oh.
Bong chumwa ai.
Nyom chumwa Will.
Oh. Will, saksabai yat?
Kinyom saksabai. Saksabai klang na. Kinyom rumpup jokania. Okay.
Jazz.
Nyom bai hao yat?
Nyom bai hao. Bong ayup bon man.
Oh, nyom ayup samsap bon chanam hao.
Jah.
Bong ayup bon man.
I called him old. It was a funny joke in
Korean. Oh, yeah.
You would have gotten it if you spoke.
I'm Jahawi. I'm very old.
Did you ask me a question?
Yeah, I did. I said, "Are you Paman?"
Oh, Nyom, are you Samsap Boon?
Samsap Moon Dorknia.
Nyom Jah.
Die. Jahawi die.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
Pray us out?
Yeah, we should pray.
All right, Will's going to pray us out.
Well, thank you for all that you're doing. In Cambodia, through your Holy Spirit, that is really the stream of living water. And pray that we would just let you flow through us wherever we are, in Roanoke or elsewhere or overseas, that you would flow through us and be that stream of living water for the healing of the nations. It's only possible through you and your Son, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Thank you.